Reading of the scriptures, let's stand. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Yes, thank you for coming, despite the heat. Yeah, the heat is on. Yeah, Genesis 49 and verse 9. And let's read that, Genesis 49 and verse 9. The Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Verse 26 to 31 of Numbers 13. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Numbers 14 verse 4. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you. We worship you. We desire that you would speak to us. We desire that you would give us a word in season today. Your word says you know all about us, that our hearts are naked before you, Lord. Minister to us, we pray, Lord. Fill us, we pray. Give us what we don't deserve this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name. Morning, I would like to speak on the theme, transformation, the key to experiencing God's riches on earth. Transformation, the key to experiencing God's riches on earth. There are times in our lives where the Christian life becomes mechanical as compared to being meaningful, where we are going from one Sunday to the next. Sometimes there is tiredness, there's weariness as compared to a quickening. And many times There are times in the Christian life where I know what I should be doing, but I simply can't do it in my experience. And there are times of unbelief. There are times where like Naomi, we say, don't call me Naomi, which is pleasant. Call me what? Mara. Because I went out full and came back empty. Minus one husband, minus two sons. Sometimes there are trials, and the wife can say in Job 2:9, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. So let's make it generic here. The husband could say to the wife, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. And sometimes this leads us to conclude that God is indifferent, God is powerless, God is chilling out, God is relaxing. And that is why in our first point, we need to understand very clearly that God speaks to us through revelation. God speaks through us, to us, through revelation. In Genesis 49:9 is the passage where Jacob is at the end of his life and he is blessing his 12 sons. And those blessings are prophetic. And one of the blessings is on Judah, who is the fourth son. And it's a beautiful blessing. And the blessing is this. It says, Judah, verse 9, is a lion's whelp, or is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? There are three parts to that verse. He is a young lion, then he is a mature lion, and the third part of that verse is, if you read in the Hebrew, it's another word for lion. Some translations use the word, and as a lioness, who shall rouse him? Which means, in terms of ferocity, the lioness, when she has a cubs, is more ferocious in protecting her cubs than the male lion. And this is the comparison here. And this is prophetic of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 7:14, our Lord arose from the tribe of Judah. In 1 Chronicles 28:4, David said, God has chosen Judah to be the ruler. Judah to be the ruler. And so we see, I want to liken these three parts of the verse to the three aspects of Jesus' life. So the first part, Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. And where we can liken Jesus to Jesus being on the earth, he was the Son of God. And when you study about lions, it says that the young lions have no fear. They have no fear. And in the same way, Jesus did not fear. His boldness was shown in his humility to the Father's plan. His boldness was shown. And he took the prey. And who was the prey? Satan was the prey. And when he died on the cross, all our sins were put on him. And when he said, it is finished, he paid for it once and for all. And he was victorious over Satan once and for all. That is the past. What has happened on the cross as a cub. The second aspect is the present. He is like a lion who lies down. What is Jesus doing today? Is he frantic in heaven, running about? No, the Bible says he is at the right hand of the Father. In Mark 16:19, once he had shown himself to his disciples, he went up and he sat where? He sat at the right hand of the Father. That's also there in Acts 5:31. In Ephesians 1:20, above every rule and principality and power. And in 1 Peter 3:22, he is at the right hand of the Father, angels and principalities and everything else being made subject to him. He is at the right hand. What is he doing now? Is he having a beach umbrella and on a beach in Goa? No. He ever lives to pray for us. Romans 8:34. In Hebrews 7:24 and 25, he is ever praying for us. That's why we can never be lost. And that's what we call in theology the present session of Christ. C-E-S-S-I-O-N. Where he is ever living to pray for us. Now, this is unique today. So he is lying down. And then it says, and as a lion or a lioness, who shall rouse him? And that's beautiful. That means who is going to challenge Jesus? Correct? And if you read Revelation chapter 5, it says, there is a time in heaven where there is a scroll which contains the seven seal judgments, and there is nobody who can open it for a moment. And then in Revelation 5 verse 5 it says, one of the elders said, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. That is his authority, right? And if you read in Revelation 19, it says, verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? How do we get to know this? The Bible says it. The Bible says it. It is not about what you see in the newspapers and what you are going through in your situation. The Bible says it. And that is why God speaks to us through revelation. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked this question, who do men say that I am? So they said, some say Elijah, some said John the Baptist, others one of the prophets. And he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you. It is through revelation that we understand this. Now, in Romans 1:20, unsaved man outside has creation to understand that there is God. But for us today, as his sons and his daughters, we have specific revelation to understand who he is. That is why the Bible says all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In Hebrews 1:2, the Bible says God, who spoke in different ways and in pieces in the Old Testament, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. Where when we come to the Bible, we can see the whole, what do you say, spectrum or panorama in one view of the complete revelation of God is there in the Bible. From Genesis 1:1 to the last verse of Revelation, we can understand the whole plan and program of God. Isn't that great? Now, wouldn't it be interesting if the cell phone was kept on the shelf for a week and it caught dust and the Bible was in our hands all the time and we were reading it? Right? Wouldn't that be? But generally, the opposite is true. Now, some of you who are smart will say, Pastor, I got the Bible inside the phone, you know. But that's the key. And that is why revelation is so important. And so today, to understand this, we are in Numbers chapter 13. And Numbers 13 and 14 are pivotal chapters in the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch, or the first five books. They are pivotal chapters, and this is what it says in Numbers 13. It says here, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Now, before we understand this passage, we will just do a little background of what is happening. These were, if you read Genesis 1 to 11, God is speaking about the world at large, right? The world in general. It's about 2,000 years, right? Ends with the Tower of Babel. Then you have Genesis 12, where God chooses one man, Abraham, and then his son, Isaac, then his son, Jacob, and then Jacob has 12 sons. And God makes a covenant with them. And in Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, your descendants will be in bondage for 400 years, and after that, I will get them out with an outstretched arm. And then when you come to the last part of Genesis, Joseph is sold as a slave in Egypt, becomes governor. About 70 people come. And then about 400 years later in Exodus chapter 1, we see that they have become thousands and thousands according to the promise of God. In Genesis 2, they are bonded laborers, and in 2, 24 and 25, God hears their groanings and he remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And so God sends Moses to deliver them. In Exodus 12 is the Passover. And the Passover was they had to eat the lamb, sacrifice it, take the blood, put it on the lintel on the outside of the door and eat it in haste. And the destroyer would see the blood and pass over. And the Bible says that at that night in the Egyptian household and all animals, the firstborn died, including that of Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh now releases them to go. And in Exodus 14 is the Red Sea crossing. And they cross the Red Sea. And then when the Egyptians come, God puts the sea over them and they are wiped out. And that is their deliverance. And so we see here that redemption was God's initiative. And as an application in the New Testament, we see that salvation is the work of God for man. For God so loved the world. In Romans 5, for this is love, when we were yet sinners, when we were ungodly, were without strength, God sent his son to die for the world. And the only thing we need to do is what? Is believe. The only thing the nation of Israel needed to do was apply the blood. And that talks about that in salvation, it is all of God's work for man. Man can do nothing in it. They had to just apply the blood, the destroyer would pass over. In the New Testament, you have to just accept Jesus as your Savior. And guess what? It is finished. You are saved once and for all. It's purely by grace. Isn't that beautiful? Once and for all. One act of faith at a point in time saved you and took you to heaven once and for all. Right? And that is redemption. The second aspect we see is sanctification. And when you read the history of the nation of Israel, we see that God starts training them. He starts talking to them. He starts talking very intimately with them. If you see the amount of revelation which is given from Exodus 20 and the whole book of Leviticus, it's unbelievable. In the Garden of Eden, it was just one command, right? Of this tree you don't eat. But when you see Exodus 20, it's 10 commandments. When you see, when you see the whole tabernacle, the intricate things, then you see the priesthood and the garments of the priesthood. Then in Leviticus 1 to 5, you have a specific offering. You have a burnt offering. You have a meal offering. You have a peace offering. You have a sin offering. You have a trespass offering. How every offering should be done. Right? There was a specific thing. And then we see that God is leading them in Numbers 9. God is specifically leading them as a nation. And he's preparing them. And in Numbers, about 1.5 years has passed from the time they have left Egypt. And they are very close to entering the promised land. That's the background. Are you understanding? God is there as a pillar of cloud in the daytime and as a pillar of cloud in the night over the tabernacle, which is at the center of the camp. Numbers 1 to 4 is the arrangement of the camps. There's great order, there's great definition. And God is present. And we see here now God tells Moses, send out these spies because I'm going to give them this land. And we see what happens when they go. Verse 26 says, they departed and came back. And this is what they said. Verse 27. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people and said, let us go up at once. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now there's a beautiful point here. Right? Now the question we have to ask ourselves is, are the 10 spies lying? Right? Are they making a false report? No. The 10 spies are saying the truth. Yes, the giants are there. The people are taller. This is the truth. But what's the difference? What's the difference? One set of people are looking by sight. And two people, Joshua and Caleb, are looking by faith. That's the difference. And that is the whole difference in our lives today. God promised them, I'm going to give you the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It was a promise. And the realization of God's promises could have only happened to them through faith. It was through faith. Are you understanding? It was not through reason. Reason showed them the reality. And the reality was, yes, they are giants. And yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey. But what was faith? Faith was saying that because God has said it, he will give it to us. Right? That's what Caleb said. That's what Joshua said. Because God has said it, he will give it to us. And what is very interesting, and this is very pivotal, these 10 spies, they said, no, we are going to die. We can't take them. We are like grasshoppers. You know, we are like nobodies. So why has God brought us here to kill us in the wilderness? Let's make a leader and go back to what? Egypt. Right? Have you felt many times this Christian life is not happening? Let's go back to Egypt. I had a big job that time. I had respect in society. Right? This is getting too hot in here. Let's go back to Egypt. Right? I guess so. Many of us may have entertained those thoughts. But that's the key. It's all about the fact that realization of God's promises can only happen through faith. That's the key. It can only happen through faith. And it's very interesting in Numbers 14 when you see God's argument. It's beautiful. You must read God's arguments when his people disobey him or they exercise unbelief in him. He tells Moses, 10 signs I have given them and they still don't believe me. Right? So Israel had enough evidence. They saw the Red Sea crossing with their eyes. They saw water come out of the rock with their eyes. They saw the pillar of cloud on top of the tabernacle with their eyes. They saw the first sacrifice, the fire of God, come down and take it with their eyes. But they refused to believe. And it's very interesting to note in Numbers 13 and 14 that the battle is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. It's one thing to go into, let's say, a football game and be a weaker side and play the best you can and lose. It's another thing to lose before you even start the game. And that's what happened to them. They lost even before they tried. Are you understanding? Because the battle is in the where? In the mind. The battle is in the mind. Now this is important. And this is what I want for all of us, including me, that this is important. All the promises of God are ours. What is it? All the promises of God are ours. It's ours. And what do we need today? And this is the key. What do we need? We are living in the information age. Right? Anything, Google. Soon we'll be Googling God also. Right? Anything we can Google. Right? We're living in the information age. What we need is not information about the Bible or about who God is. What we need is transformation. And this is the key. What is salvation? Salvation is where I'm going to be in the future. That means when I believe in Jesus Christ, I have an assured place in heaven. What is sanctification? Sanctification is my walk with the Lord on the earth. Right? But what is transformation? Transformation is abundant life as I walk with the Lord on the earth. And that is mine. I've come to give you life and what? Give it to you more what? Abundantly. Now what is the key to transformation? What is the key? In Hebrews 4:2, the Bible says that when they heard the good news preached or the gospel. It's not the gospel. In Numbers 13, it was the good news. God is giving them the land. What happened to them? They didn't mix faith with it. And because they didn't mix faith with it, it didn't profit them. You know, it's one thing to be a part of our church and it's beautiful and come here regularly and keep hearing the word of God, and that's all great. But sometimes we can keep on hearing the word of God but never ever make a choice to believe in what we have heard. And that's the key. And sometimes we can do everything right on the outside. We can be on every activity in the church and everything in the church. But God is talking to us and He's speaking to our hearts in some way. And we try and just pass by it because, you know, Lord, I'm doing outreach for you. You know, Lord, I'm giving offerings for you. Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing ministry for you, Lord. Right? 1 Samuel 15, obedience is better than sacrifice. What the church of Jesus Christ needs today, what I need today, and what you need today, is not information, but transformation. It's not about how much you know about the Bible or how much you know about the Lord. It's about taking it in and making a choice about it. What is it? Making a choice. You and I, we have made a choice to believe in Jesus as our Savior that is sealed. We are going to heaven. But as we are on the earth, the Lord wants us to enjoy our life with abundant life. Because why? It is ours. What is it? I'm giving it to you. It is yours. The fruit of the Spirit is yours. I want you to take it. Right? But if I don't believe, it's not going to happen. And this has nothing to do whether you're married, whether you're single, whether this has happened, whether that has happened. It is just between you and the Lord. It's a choice we make. And what we need today is transformation. Where the word of God comes in, where I hear the word of God and I make a decision about it, and now the word of God gets a hold on me. Right? Are you understanding? It's like, you know, when we used to fight when we were kids, the guy catches your collar, you also catch his collar, right? When the word of God is coming, Jesus is catching your collar. But when you mix faith with it, you're catching His collar. You're getting a hold of it. Where the word of God gets a what? A hold on us. And that is where transformation happens. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love. Agape love. Unconditional. In John 15. Where I am the vine, you are the branches, you abide in me, you will experience my love. God cares for us today. God loves us. God is... knows before we ask. God is an active God today. God is not deaf when we pray. And even if certain things have not happened, it will happen if it is His will. Because the Bible says so. Amen? That's the key. So instead of running away from our problems, why don't we face our problems with the Lord? If instead of running away and doing other things, thinking that the problem will go, why don't we face it with the Lord? Right? If I have a marriage problem, why don't I go to the Bible and say, see what God says about marriage? If I have a financial problem, what does God say about money? If I have any kind of problem, what does God say about it? And I want to mix faith with it, Lord. And I want you to help me and face it and overcome it. Right? And get into the land. And guess what? In Joshua, they got into the land. And in Joshua chapter 6, God fought for them. Right? Because God promised it. So, my relationship with the Word of God is the key. Today, if you and I, we don't read our Bibles, or the Bible is only opened on Sunday morning, or in an emergency, right? We will live subjective, emotional lives. We will live by sight. We will not live by faith. We need to have a walk with our Bibles. It's not about how much you know or how much you understand. It's just about reading. It's about allowing God to talk to you through His Word and taking it in and mixing faith with it. Right? We need to have a relationship with our Bible. We need to esteem the Word of God above everything in our lives. And that is really important. You know, I want to say this. Sometimes it is possible for us to esteem everything else above the Word of God. We can esteem our job above the Word of God. We can esteem our business and our career above the Word of God. We can esteem our house, our property, our money, our dreams, our ambitions, everything else above the Word of God. And guess what the Bible says, if you read historically, that all these things can be lost. In Nepal, some of our Christians from our Greater Grace churches lost their homes. You can lose a house in an earthquake. But we can't lose God. We can lose God experientially, but we can substitute God. Right? We can make mammon God. We can make something else God. We could even make ministry God, but that's not God. God is God. And the key is esteeming God above everything else in your life. Putting God first, putting His Word above everything will lead to what? Transformation. And when you have transformation, it will satisfy you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You will have a love which is unconditional. You will have a joy in the midst of troublesome difficulties. You will have a peace that passes all understanding. It's a singular, it's a ninefold fruit. You will have patience with people, kindness and goodness. You will have gentleness and self-control inside. You will have that. It's yours. Why don't we take it from the Lord? Amen? How? Through a choice. Through a what? Choice. Today I want to encourage each one of us today. Irrespective of how you were doing in the past, whether you were doing well for God and now you are not, whether you were very close then and now you are not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. You and I, we are just one choice away from transformation. You and I, we are just one choice away from saying, God, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Just one choice away. Right? Now many of you all people think that men of God and pastors are like, you buy a new bike and you ride it till it breaks down. That men of God don't need servicing. It's like these new car batteries you get. No maintenance, zero maintenance. We all need God in our lives. We all need times of refreshment. We all need times for God to speak to us and transform us. Are we understanding? If you think we are like those machines, you are absolutely wrong. We are all people who live by the grace of God, and we need the grace of God in our lives on a daily basis. In closing today, it's not about activity. Don't confuse Christianity with activity. Don't think that because you come for everything and do everything, you're doing okay. It's not about that. Serving God is an expression of our relationship with Him. And if our relationship is right, we will be satisfied. And the expression of a satisfied relationship is service to God. And in the expression of a satisfied relationship and service to God, even if you don't see acknowledgement and appreciation or anything, you'll still be fine because you're satisfied with His relationship with the Lord. Amen? So in closing today, what do we need? We need transformation. How? You and I, each one of us, we need to make a choice. Our spouse can't make the choice for us. Our parents can't make the choice for us. Brothers and sisters can't. Our pastor can't make the choice. Each one of us have to make our own choice. And in closing today, this is the key. based upon my relationship with the Bible, it will be either reality over word or word over reality. It's as simple as that. So in closing today, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? How about giving God a chance? Right? One chance, two chance. Right? Taking God at His word. What do you say? Right? Let's take God at His. You have said, I'll give you a peace that passes understanding. I want to take you at it. You have said that all authority has given unto me in Matthew 28. Go and make decisions. You have said that. Correct? Let's take God at His word. You have said, I will provide for you. Let's take God at His word. You have said, I will restore you and wash you and make you clean if I confess. Let's take God at His word. In closing today, let's put it all together. You have the past where Jesus paid for it all, right? And He said it is finished. And so our entrance into the kingdom is based on a finished work. We have the present where He is outworking in us. And being confident of this very thing, that He who began the good work will complete it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He will perfect spirit, soul and body completely. And the third thing is what? The future. But you know what is the good thing about the future? Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. Right? Look at my eyes. That's a double wing. Actually, it should be. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In the twinkling of an eye, we could be what? Gone. So there's no time to grumble. There's no time to complain. There's no time to whine. Because when Jesus comes, it's what? Over. And that's the rapture. Revelation 19 is the second coming where He will conquer all. King of kings and Lord of lords. But today He wants to conquer our hearts. Amen? So let's take what is ours. By the choice, by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We praise You. We worship You, Lord. You know each one's need here. You know our weakness. You know our troubles. You know our trials. Quicken us, Lord. Lord, give us a double portion, Lord. Come into our hearts, Lord, in an experiential way. May Your presence flood this place. Heal us physically, spiritually, emotionally. Revive our faith. Lord, build our faith, Lord, we pray right now. Help us to believe, Lord. Help us to take what is ours. Help us to make those choices. Deliver us from our situations, we pray. Use us for Thy kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Give these singers a hand. We're dismissing by 11:15, 11:20 each service. If I speak, it'll go to 12 o'clock. But just think about just one principle. I love what Pastor Anil shared. Whenever God gives us a specific command, there is a promise locked in it. What is it? Say that to your neighbor. Whenever God gives us a specific command, there is a... But it is possible for us to look at the command without actually noticing there's a promise locked in it. So in the context of the message today, the transformation, when God asked the nation to go out of Egypt, was that a promise or was it a command? You can, if you have a irreconciled marriage at home, you can have a rap session, and the rap session will reconcile your relationship. I'm just teasing. Or friendship. Is it the command to go? God doesn't say, I promise you if you go. God is saying go. Very often when we understand through the Holy Spirit the authority that is in the word, we must recognize through the Holy Spirit the authority that is in the word. Once we come under the authority of the word, we find a promise locked in it. Remember this. One illustration, and I'll let you go. In the Gospel of John, John writes something very unique about the centurion whose son was unwell. Jesus Christ does his ministry, and in his ministry, he comes from tremendous signs and wonders that he does. And the centurion is aware of the signs and wonders that Christ has done and asks Jesus if Jesus would come to his house to heal his son. This is based on a report that he has heard. Christ does not want him to draw his faith from reports that he has heard. Christ wants him to draw his faith from a command that he is going to issue. So Jesus now looks at the centurion and says to the centurion, which is not just to him, which is representative of a nation, this is what he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He's not just telling to him. He is representative of all those that will only believe if they only see things. Then Jesus drops this bomb on him. What is it? This is what he says. Go your way, your son liveth. Now, if anyone had to make that statement, go your way, your son liveth, instead of wanting him to come to the house, you are going to say, how is this going to happen? But the centurion recognized in the command, there was a promise locked in. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. What is the nature of the enemy? The nature of the enemy is to focus on the command so that we feel the weight of it instead of being delivered by the authority of it. And as the centurion goes home, he meets the people and he asks them, at what hour did this happen? It was exactly at that time that Jesus had. You understand that? In the command, there is a promise that is locked. That key is a master key. It opens up every room, even those rooms in which the examination papers are leaked. Huh? How can my work be made easier? I mean, like social media, you send one rumor, it will go around the whole world and it will come. But we are not preoccupied with those things. We recognize that the commands of God are not hard sayings, but there is a promise locked in it. How many of you believe that? So when you hear things that are seemingly hard, a person that through the Holy Spirit comes under the authority of it finds a promise locked. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the fact that we as Gentiles brought into the kingdom of God by faith. Your word says in Romans 1:5 and in Romans 16:24-25, it is the obedience of faith unto all nations. We thank you that we are grafted in as the wild vine, grafted in, and it is through the nation of Israel's unbelief we have obtained mercy. So it is through our acceptance that one day in the future the nation of Israel will find mercy. We thank you for the mystery of redemption, the mystery of salvation, the mystery of the new birth, the mystery of Christ living in us, the mystery of faith. We thank you. The mystery of the body of Christ, we thank you today. We pray, bless Christopher's mom, quicken her physical condition. Bless those that need the elderly people in our ministry that need a physical touch. Put a canopy over the city, Father, we pray. In our nation, in the heat wave, it is possible to believe you. For in early rain and early monsoon, as Elijah prayed, a man of like passions, that we are, we pray for that canopy to be put across by faith. We know what the weather says, but we also are above that. We know what you say and your word says. And we ask in the authority in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, we praise you. Thank you for the worship, the word, for your presence in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.